Hilton, turn our attention to our second place finishing driver in Scott Dixon, driver the number 9 PNC Bank, Chip Ganassi Racing Honda. First runner up finish of the season, fifth podium of 2024, 142nd podium of his career, breaks the tie for most all time with Mario Andretti, 211th. Top five, which is of course extends his record for most all time as well. It was a heck of a race. What was it like from your perspective?
Yeah, it was. You know, I think on many fronts, you know, I hope you know, the fans enjoyed it. It was pretty wild. I think there was never a lap that, you know, you were kind of relaxing. It was just flat out the whole time, and especially the strategy shift, I think, at the end with Colton. Obviously we got a bit of a reset with that last caution, but what a wild day, you know, with, you know, Alex's issue, then Power, you know, having his issue. It was, you know, definitely made for TV. So, yeah, for us, it was a bit up and down throughout. You know, we made, I think we changed everything but the kitchen sink last night after yesterday's car. And it was definitely very positive. So it was nice to have a good good car today, and obviously moved up when we needed to, and, you know, had a good restart on that last one there. So congrats to McLaughlin, and I know it's not the first time of a Kiwi one too, but it's always a lot of fun to have another New Zealander up there.
For sure. All right, open up questions for Scott Dixon. Pat, go ahead. Jenny, you've got the mic.
Then we'll go, I wanted to stay on that Nashville theme. I actually have two questions. The first one's on Nashville. Colton said he doesn't know how it's going to race. You probably do. Are you going to win a fourth straight?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
It's done?
Yeah. Just get the trophy now.
Yeah, all right. Cool. So are you excited to go there, to go back there?
I am, you know, and you can't thank, I think, Scott Borchetta enough. You know, I think the amount of effort that he's cleaned up for one, and then, you know, obviously got handed not a great situation. So, you know, I know they've been promoting the heck out of it. He's a hell of a person and huge for, you know, huge partner for our sport. So, you know, I think all of us want this to go extremely well. Whether it's just a couple of years or whether it's going to become the primary situation, you know, we have to wait and see. Everybody loves the Nashville down street race. You know, the race itself was interesting, I thought, and would have been a great spot for a last, you know, championship race just because of the unknowns, but and the atmosphere is what, you know, we need for this sport. So Nashville, you know, finishing on an oval, I think, is always good. You know, I think the highs and lows, as we saw today, can come pretty quick and pretty heavy. So I just hope it's well attended and we can keep building on it. And I'm looking forward to Nashville.
And then today related, I'm assuming you don't know what was wrong with the 10.
No, I actually asked twice because I was, you know, kind of trying to make sure we weren't doing the same thing and making sure that it wasn't the same problem that I had at Mid-Ohio.
And it was not?
Oh, I don't know. They just said we've asked for information and we haven't got any.
They said on the broadcast a battery needed to be replaced, a 12-volt.
Oh, okay. Yeah, but the DC to DC on the hybrid could kill that as well. So there's a lot more, you know, parts now. So it could be any kind of issue. Ours was similar to that. The hybrid can get into a funny kind of mode. Which will just kill the car, which, you know, is kind of the last thing it should do because it's the only thing that can charge the actual battery is that. But it could be something totally different. I think they've worked a lot of the kinks out from my problem. Just sad to see. You know, I think Alex would have had a great race. I think he probably would have had it sewn up. But Power made it pretty exciting too there now.
What is that like as a driver to just be in a disabled car and watching your championship points slip by as nobody can figure out what's going on?
Yeah, it's frustrating. I think when it's, you know, introduced, you know, something out of your control, you know, it's always tough. And you know, kudos to IndyCar and everybody that had done so much testing, you know, because I think there would have been a whole lot of other things that could have been a problem. Whether it was that or not, I'm not sure. But, it sucks. You know, I had it at Ohio. It didn't even same situation where I think he at least did one parade lap or two parade laps. I'm not sure, but... So he might have done one lap more than me. But, in that situation, watching, you know, with maybe two races to go, how quickly it could change. You know, luckily the other car had an issue as well.
Let's go Patrick, then Marshall, then Bruce. Go ahead, Patrick.
Let me start by asking to sort of to follow up on that. You're in the car, I ask about his, but are you following the championship thing as you're trying to run your own race? You kind of...
When I saw that, I was, you know, you're feeling for the team because you know how hard every single person works on it. And, you know, what could have been sewn up, you know. very few times, I think, well, Alex had it last year, but very few times do you get to go to the last race and it's all over, you know, which would make the feeling pretty nice for the whole team. So, you know, you feel for Alex, but you also feel for the whole crew, not just the 10, but all the cars that, that work extremely hard, you know, together. And then, you know, I didn't even know what had happened on that caution, but with the you know, the big screens around here, you could kind of see, and it was focused on the 12. So I don't know how it happened or what was broken on the car, but yeah.
Okay. And then just a racing question about, you said you had to throw the kitchen sink at it. You weren't that far off yesterday, or were you that bad to have to make a bunch of changes to get a little bit better?
Yeah, it was more the drivability. The car wasn't really nice to drive. You know, I think from a race to race, you'd maybe do, well, I don't think you'd even do the amount of setup changes we did at a test, you know, not all at once. You know, yesterday, had we stayed out a half lap later, I think we would have restarted third. So, you know, it's just how you catch those cautions. I think Daly was two or three spots behind me at that point. So it can flip like that. But, you know, that's how it rolls throughout the season, and some work for you and some don't. But yeah, it was more of a, you know, yesterday it was full on, man. It was, that was a tough, that was a long 250 laps.
And today was a short one?
It was a little easier, that's for sure.
Marshall.
Dix, you've done a lot of Milwaukee's. Give us your thoughts. Doubleheader here, coming back after a long time. I think a pretty decent crowd. Give me some thoughts on what it was like coming back and what you saw over a couple of days.
Yeah, you know, I think I love a challenge, and this weekend was a challenge on many fronts. Just, you know, qualifying was a mess, you know, practice. It was just full of highs and lows, but I think that kind of sums up Milwaukee. You know, that's what you have in the race. You know, you kind of have these peaks and everything's going well, and then, you know, you might run on top of somebody or get high, and then, you know, they all stream by and, you know, you're kind of in the crap again. So it's fun. I love it just because it is so difficult. Honestly, the crowds were a lot better than I thought they were going to be coming back, especially for a doubleheader. It's hard to do that. So I think next year, obviously for a one day event, will be fantastic. And it's always hard when it's a new date and you're, you know, coming back for a time. So, congratulations to IndyCar and everybody that you know, made what the two-day event was. Doubleheaders are hard to pull off.
Bruce?
You ran the fastest laps of the race as you were trying to reel in Scott there toward the end. But at what point did you realize he's just a little too far for me to catch?
Yeah, I need to look. I think I ran faster than I did in qualifying. Yeah, it's good. Maybe, yeah, I need to get that around the other way. I think if we'd had maybe another 10 to 20 laps, it might've been slightly different. But you know, it is what it is. So, he drove a fantastic race. You know, there was kind of the one stint where he got me, and then, the 14, and also, maybe one other that kind of got in front. I think it was, the 7 was already hit, but just got into a traffic sequence where I couldn't really run on the bottom. I couldn't understand why everybody else could. And as soon as I did, I would just have loads of understeer and couldn't get it together. So, he did a hell of a job, and you know, to take the lead, obviously for that last restart, you know, puts you in a great position. Had there been another restart, could have been maybe a little bit different.
And also the podium record. Scott Dixon claims yet another IndyCar record.
Yeah, it's cool. You know, obviously, you know, Mario, I'm a massive fan of Mario, and, you know, he's a huge part of our series, and you know, it's, again, I keep saying it, but it's so cool that, you know, him and AJ and many others, whether it's Rick, come to a lot of our races, you know. So it's obviously Mario raced in a lot of different categories as well and achieved, you know, many great things. But just to be mentioned with any of those guys is very special.
We've got time for a couple more, Nate, and then we'll go to the fourth row back there. Go ahead, Nate.
The final restart obviously was great for you. I think you got around Rossi and then Herta. Can you just walk us through that? And Colton was saying that you guys actually had touched, and that was a really fierce battle through the corners. I mean, is he a guy, like, it seems like you guys can trust each other maybe more than you would other drivers.
Yeah, I think we've had, you know, we don't have battles all the time, but when we have had, it's you know, it's been fair. You know, some guys you obviously know that, you know, it's probably not going to go that way. There was definitely some extremely aggressive moves out there, and if you didn't get out of the way, you were going to be in the fence today. And it was definitely, you know, probably just two or three cars. But it's what people want to see too, you know. But I think longevity wise, it's only going to work for so long. But yeah, it's always been good for me and Herder. So yeah, a lot of respect there and no issues.
Time for one more. Go ahead.
Hey, Scott. Andrew Wagner, Forbes Sports. You kind of touched on earlier, I think everyone was kind of surprised with the strong turnout, but having done a number of races here, did you notice anything that might be different compared to years past that gives you reason to think this is going to be a successful event moving forward?
Yeah, the only time I got to see the infield was, you know, doing the autograph session, and the activation was great in there. You know, I think previous years we've gone back there and, you know, all the, you know, whether it's food stalls or bars have been closed, you know. So to have that and the bands and local entertainment, I think is huge. I think the hard pill for most ovals, right, is, you know, unless Indy Next is here, what races on the track? And that's the hard part, you know, whether it was Texas in the past, you know, you want people to come here and be entertained, you know, not just for our race, which is obviously the marquee point, but you've got to fill a lot of time as well. So I know that's always been a discussion that I've had in off-season chats just about, you know, how you do that. And, you know, I know that I think changed a lot of things, especially on that side of the grandstands for this year.